Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Thursday evening, and I'm going to have time to take a look at a different aspect of the parasha, which fortunately is being supported by Mishpachas Stefanski, by Bezalel Stefanski and family. This is not the Genozim, separate thing. And I mentioned him the other day. I was thinking, maybe fleetingly, about the breaking of the tablets, which is probably among the most dramatic scenes in our parasha, right? Kisisa, right? Moshe made a smash at the tablets. And he suggests, it's interesting, and maybe, which is intriguing, Bezalel, that is, that Moshe comes down, he sees people worshiping a physical object, like a golden calf. He got afraid maybe they'll worship the stones, the two tablets, which is an interesting shot. I didn't think of it that way. I mean, now you put a bee in my bonnet. Let us speculate. Suppose Moshe showed up, and they're all dancing around the golden calf, and then they see something that surpasses the golden calf. Moshe comes down with two physical objects. And not only that, they are truly unique and of super high kedusha, I guess, because they're Maase Elokimi. What's the difference between the first tablets and the second? The first tablets were totally made by God. The second one, Moshe has to carve it out of the mountain. And then Hashem will write on it. No question about it. The second tablets were also, you know, something else. They were literally was Ksuvim Be'etzpei Elokim. But the first tablets was even more. The Luchos Rishonos, I mean, I think I've talked about in the past. Where'd they come from? Moshe is up there 40 days and 40 nights, whatever that means, in some kind of different state of reality, however that's to be understood, meaning we don't know. And then he finishes, excuse me, on the 40th day, and Shazam, he's got two tablets. Chazal say diamonds, whatever. He's got two Luchos. So in other words, they appeared out of nothing. It's, you know, I guess it should be up there with those things that were created before, you know, Bria Solom, you know what I mean? The talking donkey and the tongues and the other things like that. Because it seems like it's the Yeshmei. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Hashem took some stones already existing out of the mountain, ripped them out himself. He can do whatever he wants, obviously, and wrote on them. But it doesn't say that. So here we could have a philosophical question for the Middle Ages. Can you have another Yesh Me'ayin or something? You know, because it seems that the Luchos, Rishonos, was just poof, like a movie. They were there. So they were like a, you can't get a higher connection of Bon Shalom than that. Maase Elokim. And so if I was one of these golden calf types, I'd say, wow, now we really got an idol. Again, to Hashem, because his mom is something he gave. You know what I mean? You say it was, you know, an imagined object. This thing came from upstairs. Ask Moshe, where'd you get it from? You know, did you sneak it in? Did you order from Amazon? It came poof, just like that. So it's like you can't get a more kedusha dicka thing than Lucas Rishonis. So indeed, it's very mistaber that they would have abandoned something like Egel Azov and gone for this. And then that really would have been travesty. Because then Moshe Rabbeinu would have said like this, here, I brought down Luchos, and now they're turning into an idol of some sort or another. It's an interesting and fruitful line of speculative thought. I'm not going with that now, but, let's put it this way. It's something you can say over in your shul or your Shabbos table if you think it through. So that's an interesting one. Very Litvishib shot, by the way. Anyhow, but I was more thinking along the lines of the very strange history, you know me, the very strange history of what happens to those shattered tablets. Because it doesn't tell you. It just says Moshe saw Rayar's Egel as a Macholos and Vayishabrem or whatever it is. You know, he threw him down and smashed him. And I'm not getting into the Chazals, you know, did they fall by themselves and all. Pashim shot, he smashed him. And Hashem said, you did a good job. Yashikol Sheshabartim. And so it's very strange because I'll say like this. And then what? You see? And then what? You don't hear about them later on. And then what? And we're not exactly told clearly. It's elusive, a little here, a little there. In which case, naturally, you have machloikas and different opinions. But what was the fate of those shattered tablets? And it's very interesting to me that, as we know, the shattered tablets was Shavuos Batamas, and the building of the Mishkan is a day or two after Yom Kippur, following that. And if you look at Rashi, and something of a strange Sipsi Chacham to me, in Baloscha, in 1033, the two Rashis are in Bamibra 10 and in Dvarim 10. Bamibra Yud, Dvarim Yud. In Bamibra it's 1033, and in Dvarim it's in 10:1. And it says the theory of the two arcs, which is a big debate in Chazal, whether there were. We've all heard about it, but it's a big debate in Chazal. It says in Baloscha, when they start moving, when they finally leave Mount Sinai after a long time, and they march towards Israel, not knowing, of course, that the Meraglim episode is coming up. So it says they travel 3 days' journey, but they had a scout before them, the Aron Bris Hashem, Nosilif Neim Derech Shlosh Yitzyamim, Losil Menucha. That the ark, right? The box. Not the Mishkan, the box. Bris Hashem. Aron Bris Hashem. Nosilif Neim Derech Shlosh Yitzyamim. To scout out the way. So Rashi says, Zeh Aron Hayotzi Mam L'Melchama. This wasn't a regular ark. This was the battle ark. The Aron that went with them Milchama, Ubo Shivri Luchas Menachem, and that's what where the Shivri Luchas were. Umakdof Nei Shloshim Sagim Mechanei, and it scouted a journey of 3 days ahead of them. So that means there's two arcs, because one it says that the Aron was in the middle of the Machne, and this one is going ahead of them. So how you miyashiv that? You say there are two arcs, two Arons. You've heard that before. Now Sipsei Chacham is kind of strange over here. At least part of it seems to be miswritten, but maybe I'm not understanding something. On this, Rashi, where it says, Zeh Aron Yotzi Imohem, says the Chacham says, Pirish, Zeh Ha'Aron HaNosei Lefneim Hu HaYotzi L'Mel Mechoma. The ark that went on this three-day journey ahead of the Jewish people was the Melchoma ark. Shaso Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom Kom Shavar Deluchas HaShniyas. Moshe constructed this before he brought down the second tablets. So it's very interesting. In other words, you tell me there are two arcs. Really? I look in the Chumash, and it says, you know, in Truma, Ketzav, and all that. V'yosis Aaron, Asay Shitim, Amosai Marko, and all the rest of it. And Vayasu Asa Aaron, and they said, where Vayaka, whatever, that, you know, they did it. So that's a box. Eventually covered with gold, as we know. So that happened at the time of the Mishkan. So here we are on Shavuos Batamas. Moshe just smashed the Luchos. Then he proceeded to do whatever he did in connection with his reaction against the golden calf. What happened to the shattered, you know, Luchos? Doesn't say. So the Sefer Chacham is saying over here, based on Rashi, we'll see in a second, that Moshe, after he shattered the Luchos, and after he killed the sinners of the golden calf, he made a box, an Aron, by the way, a wooden one, and he put inside them the Shivri Luchos. So that means, this is a version of history, that means that from Shabbos and Batamas until Yom Kippur at least, and beyond that actually, the Jewish people had a box. It wasn't a Mishkan yet. The box, a wooden box, and inside the box was Mamash the Luchos Rishonos. With all their unbelievable Kedusha, as I say before, their Mamash, Maisel came here and all the rest of it. And Moshe kept it by him. This is not identical with the other Aron that was subsequently constructed once they made a Mishkan. So in other words, what is it, 4 months or something like that? From Shabbos of Thomas, what, Nissan Sivan, or Thomas of El Tishrei. 3 months, you know, something like that. 3 months, they had a Moshe Aron that he constructed. That's not the Aron that they used later on the Mishkan. That was constructed by Bezalel. So it's just very interesting. And for these 3 months, the Shiver Luchos were located there. Now then the Sitzei Chum says something a little weird to me. And after they took out the Luchos Shnias from that Aron, I see what he means. Husmabo Shiver Luchos. I guess it means like this. Yeah, I mean, you got to think it through. The sequence of events, the history of it. They shattered the Luchos Rishonos. Moshe put them in a box that Hashem told him to make. They're there for 3 months or something like that. Maybe a little more. And then, meanwhile, you and I know that on Yom Kippur, they got the Luchos Shnias. They did not yet have a Mishkan. The command to do the Mishkan comes right after, you know, right after that. Correct? You know, the day after or whatever. So, what did Moshe do when he came down with Luchos Shnias? Well, he didn't smash them. So what did he do with them? Didn't leave them out on his front porch. The answer is, he put them into that box that he had constructed, that aura. So in that aura, now you have two things. The Luchos Shnias, which are whole. And you have the shattered Luchos Rishonos. That's just an interesting image. And then, as you know, Bezalel makes an Aron at God's command. You have Yosisa Aron, Aseishi Tima, Messiah Marco, and all the rest of it. Vitsibiso, Aso, Zahav. So that's a wooden box which is covered with gold, inside and out. So once that's all set up, they take out the new tablets and they put them in the new box. And that's going to be the Kodesh Kodashim, the old Moed. And the old shattered tablets are remaining in the old box that Moshe left him. Oz Nisharubo, Fu Yotzim Melchama Hu Nasei L'Shnehem. That was called the war ark, the battle ark. Ava Aron Shaozi Bo Luchos Shnias, Hu Betocha Machna Hayin Nasei Kidesi B'Zis Parsha. But the Aron, what they had, the Luchos Shnias, that remained B'tocha Machne. In other words, the Bezalel one is what I just told you. That remained in the Machne. And the other one goes out to war. That's just a very interesting way of explaining it. Now, where do you see that God tells him after he smashed the tablets in our Parsha to make a box to put the broken Shiver Luchos in there? Because it sure doesn't say in Kisisa. So you have to walk around all over the Chumash, and you find, like I see in chapter 10, in Akev, Perek Yud Pasagal, Boisai Amar Hashem Eli, Psal Luchos Shnei Luchos Avonim Kurishonim, Vale Eli Hara, that Moshe is retelling it, you know, in the book of Dvarim, at the end of 40 years, that, you know, after he saved the Jewish people from being killed, at day goes off. So then Hashem says, make a new second Luchos. Vale Eli Yehara. And we come up to the mountain to get him. Vasizol Ha'arnes. Right? And make an ark. A wooden one. Well, that wasn't in Kisisa. Okay? So the story is mamish, you know, again, it's not a question of mukta mukhar, but when you try to piece together the history, the chronological events that you find in the Chumash, it's not so easy. Because part is here, part is there, you have to coordinate what it says in Dvarim. This is how it goes. And it's not simple. You'll see what I mean in a second. So Moshe goes on to say in Akev that I did do that. But Echdev is a Lucas and Dvarim, Ashar, Yeluchas, Rishon, Moshe, Barto. I wrote these things down. Besamtim Ba'aron. And I put him in the Aron. What Aron? He didn't make him yet. V'as Aron Asei Shitib. I made an Aron now. So that sounds like after the second Luchas were given, that's what he's told to make a box. No. Or maybe yes. It's not clear. You see what I'm saying? So the whole thing sounds, at least to me, kind of confusing. Moreover, this is the base of the idea that there's two arcs, which is one opinion Chazal. The other opinion Chazal is that there were not. Okay? And they'll have to learn all these sukkim that I just read you in such a way that coordinates with, you know, the Aron that Bezalel had. And the bottom line is everything, the Luchas and the Shivri, like you always hear all the time, Luchas v'Shivri, Luchas Menachem Baron. That's a different shita. That means whatever box Moshe may have made temporarily or not, doesn't matter. The Mishkan, when it was constructed, everything was put into that. And there wasn't a second ark. What happened to the box that Moshe made? So the Ramban, I see, I'm just looking at it now, you know. The Ramban, where is it? Is it here in, I just looked at it. It's either here in 10.1. Yeah, it's in Akev. He strongly disagrees. He says we go with not with the idea there were two arcs, we go with the one there was one. Because the Rove and opinion in Chazal is there was one, right? And what happened? Here, I'll read the relevant part. This is Ramban. V'das Rabbeinu. Let me do a little bit better. He criticizes Rashi. And he says that there are those who say, you know, b'chein ba'agodo, that there were two arcs. Aver divri yochidheim. That's a minority opinion, the Ramban says. She'ken shoshin v'sechtes shkolim, because in Yerushalmi shkolim it says, Rabbi Yehuda asserts that there were two arcs. However, Rabbanan Amri Echad Hayim. But the Rabbanan disagreed with him. There was a grand total of one. And it was that Aron. In other words, that's the Chazal's way of understanding, if I can use the word push-up shot, not so push-up, why the Ark was captured by the Philistines in the Battle of Ophek, as we all know, and in that disastrous battle, which Taka led to the Korban of the Mishkan by the Plishtim, and we all know the story that they took the Ark back and that they got hemorrhoids and they sent it back and so forth. But what was the reason the Jewish people were defeated? Because they had no business taking the Ark, which is supposed to be Tocha Machne, out in the battlefield. Wait a minute, I thought there's such a thing called the battle ark. What's wrong with that? You see, if you hold that there's the two arcs, that there's the Aron Milchom and the other ones, and they didn't do anything wrong. But if you say there was a grand total of one ark, they had no business being out there in the battlefield. Now, Me'idich Gis, I don't know whether Rabban doesn't mention this, but me, myself, and I know, and so do you, that Uri Achiti says to David HaMelech, in the famous story, King David tells him, go home and spend some time with your wife because he wants him to sleep with his wife so he won't know about the baby and so forth. In the story of David Masheva. And remember, he says, I cannot go and rest and spend time with my wife all the rest of it because my Lord Yoav and my friends and the Aron are all sleeping in the field, in the battlefield, and besieging Rabbah Samad. I should go and be home in a luxury situation in Yerushalayim. What do you mean the Aron is in the field? You know what I'm saying? What does that mean? Unless you say there was an Aron Milchama. In which case, you have something very interesting. The Plishtim captured, and then it becomes a screwy story, because the Plishtim, I guess, sent back the battle ark, something like that. Although in the other one, it says it was the ark of Yosef HaKruvim, which sounds like it was the main ark. You see the confusion? Okay. But the Ramban over here is going with the idea it was a grand total of one ark. Rabban Amri, he's quoting. Rabban Amri, Echad HaYapamachas Yotzeb Bimei Eli V'Nishba. It was sent to the battlefield in time of Eli and was captured by the Plishtim. V'das Rabban Sena B'chol Mokam Eino Kenei Aluchas V'Shivri Luchas Menachas Barn B'Mishkan Beis Kotcha Koshim Lach HaProchas Ein Shom Shnei Aronos V'chein Shlomo Lohichnis Beis Kotcha Koshim El Aron Echad. So we have here two different readings of history, based on how they read the Pesukim. One's Rashi, one's Ramban. Okay? One's Rashi, one's Ramban. V'od on a yamad aron zeim aluchas rishon kol mei midbar. And second of all, the Ramban says, if you're telling me that there were two arks, and Moshe Rabbeinu made his own, and they put the Shivri Luchas in there for however long he did, so where did, you know, so what did Moshe do? Keep it in his kitchen? Especially after the Mishkan was made, is a bizarre, right? It's an interesting point Ramban's making. In other words, here's the Mishkan when it was finally constructed. It's a wonderful and magnificent structure, it really is. At the center of it is the Aron, which Bezalel made. And obviously, you know, Bezalel knew what he's doing. You know, Bezalel. And that has the Luchos Shnios, which of course have the highest sanctity. But the Luchos Rishonos aren't there. Luchos Rishonos, like I say, are Moshe Rabbeinu's kitchen or something. Because they don't fit into the midos of the Olmoid. On a Yamud, Har Nazim, Luchos Rishonos called me a midbar. Keep a Mishkan based Kacha Kachan. A key be Mishkan, based called Shikachom Achar Prochus, Ein Shom Shnei Aronos. Right? But rather, the Ramban suggests, wrestling with this problem, of Aron Hazeh Shel Moshe, Kishenas Aron Shel Bezalel, what happened to the box of Moshe? The Ramban suggests the opposite of what we read in the Sifsei Chachamim. He said, when they construct the Mishkan, they make the Aron over there, Gonzuhu, Moshe buried the box, Gedin Tashmisha Kedusha, right? And he took the shattered fragments of the Luchos Rishonos, the Shivri Luchos, and he transported them and transferred them to the regular box which has the Aron. That's a nice, neat way of looking at it. It's not so pasha to me, but that's what he says. Because the problem is, then you have a situation. What does Hashem mean when he says Asisa L'cha Aron Eitz over in Dvarim and in Bamidbar? And Ramban says Yirmaz L'Aron Shasa B'Tzal. I don't know. You know, he goes on to try to, you know, fit it in. You see what I'm saying? You end up with a messy story, right? Because there are Pesukim all over the place, like in the Plishtim story and the David Bathsheba story and in the Sifsei Chachamim and the Rashi's way and the Ramban way. But we have just a funny situation. In some respects, the Luchos Rishonos, you know, if anything, should have been at the center of everything, you'd think. I mean, I'm going to raise the following question, and I don't know the answer to this. Like I said before, this is something you can debate in your, you know, Kiddush Rishon or something like that. And I'm serious. Which is a more Kedusha, the Luchos Shnios or the Luchos Shnios? The Luchos Rishonos, Luchos Shnios. Listen closely. What's more Chashav? The Shivri Luchos of the Luchos Rishonin or the intact Luchos of the Luchos Shnios? That's a very interesting question. And you could, you know, debate both sides of it. On the one hand, they are shattered. Therefore, they're not functional. You can't read it. It's all busted up into fragments. It would be interesting if we were around today, because the archaeologists could put it back together. If you ever go, I mean, if you just look up Mesha steel, Steely. M-E-S-H-A, and then S-T-E-L-E. They found the Lahavdil. They found a whole stele, a whole big stone with a lot of writing on it from Mesha Melchmoav. But the guy who found it was a missionary, and when the Bedouins saw that he's interested in it, they exploded it in order to make him pay peace for peace, which he did. So they blew it up. But because he had taken a certain type of a picture beforehand, they knew how to reconstruct it. So today it's reconstructed. You know, they put the pieces back together. Imagine if somebody would undertake to put the piece of Lucas Rishonis together. Whoa. But which is more chashuv? It's very interesting that they say, at least Rashi says, that school of thought says, that what they took into battle was the Shifra Lucas. You see what I'm saying? Now, on the one hand, you might say like this, it's more expendable if they lose. On the other hand, sounds like what's going to bring you victory is Lucas Rishonis. This is already like Abishitz or something. In other words, if the army marches into battle and they have the arm that has the Lucas Rishonis, the Shiver Lucas, they're reminded of the sin of Egel Azov, and they do Teshuvah. You know, you could spin it that way. On the other hand, you got to admit that we usually don't like to invoke the image of Egel Azov or anything like that when it comes to, you know, needing good luck or bad luck. I wouldn't imagine on a battlefield they want to bring up something like the Lucas Rishonis in their shattered state, which reminds you of the Egel Azov. You know, that's a Kateger Senegar situation. But if you did it the other way, then, you know, I'll be Derech HaMussert, I guess. You say, you see the Lucas Rishonis and you realize what you messed up. And there was a soldier on the battlefield. And you say, you know, we're not going to mess up now. We're going to go in with total emunah or something like that. It's just interesting. Because you'd think, if anything, they wouldn't be so much on display. Now, of course, as we just saw, if you hold from the other school of thought, there weren't two Luchas. There were not two Luchas. So then, you know, the rare occasions you see in the Bible when the ark was in the battlefield, it's kind of interesting, hard to explain. And Meinach Gisa, when the guy tried to get a hold of it, like the Plishtim, Hashem hit him with the hemorrhoids and all the rest of it. So, you know, the Aron doesn't need protection, so to speak. It can protect itself. Or Hashem can protect it. So you end up, as I say before, with a very intriguing question. We all focus on Moshe losing his temper, or maybe for calculation, and smashing the tablets, which I say again, is one of the most dramatic features of the Parsha. But then we ask ourselves, what happened afterwards with those shattered tablets, right? With the Shivri Luchas. What went on with them? On the one hand, they're a symbol of Klal Yisrael's sin. On the other hand, they're very useful if you take it in the right frame of mind for, considering tshuva. And, you know, if you want to spin it this way, if you're homiletical, this is what Moscato would say, you know. He'd say, you know, the shattered dreams of the past are necessary to realize that the perfect is the enemy of the good. The Lucas Rishonis obviously on too high madrega for the Jews. Too high madrega. It was too much of an assignment. There were the Ten Commandments. They freaked out. They said, we can't listen to this anymore. Moshe, you take over. I mean, you know, all that was not a good foreboding. And Taka turned out that way. But that's a very downcast way of looking at Shavuos. So I just leave you with this thought that if you go take the trouble and look up the Makoros I just mentioned, and maybe you'll see stuff I didn't see. I saw Rashi and Rabban.
And Ibn Ezra a little bit talks about what happened to these Luchos, Shivri Luchos, and how were they regarded vis-a-vis the Luchos Shnias? Right? How were they regarded vis-a-vis the Luchos Shnias? Which is the real Chashivas? The second ones, which are not as chashuv as the first ones, because the first ones were totally Maisel King. The second one was Psalachov. Moshe had to carve it out. That's pretty good, too. How much would you get on Gnosim for auctioning off something that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote or carved out. You know, I get that. But still, it wasn't like the first one. So we have this image of the Shivri Luchos. We have this image, Lefi Rashi, of Moshe Rabbeinu after the Golden Calf episode. We're not told this in the Parsha. Going around and picking up all the shattered fragments and putting them in a wooden box. That wooden box is not covered with gold. You see? It almost cries out to tell us the last thing those Shivri Luchos wanted to see was gold after the Golden Calf. You know what I'm saying? It's just a plain wooden box. When you make the Luchos Shnias after he forgave them, so then you cover it inside and outside with gold. But it's strange, ironic, that something like the Luchos, which are so connected uncomfortably with the story of Matan Torah, and the Luchos should have gold. You paint it inside and outside with Zov. So anyway, it's just the Mishkan does have Zov. That's true. But Mamish, the box hold the tablets? You know, really? It's very suggestive. At least to me, it's very suggestive. Anyway, that's what I wanted to share. And this is more in the way of food for thought. And I do mean it when I say that a lot of points I mentioned tonight are really start-off points for very intelligent discussions, in my opinion, on the follow-up of the story that you have in Kisiso, which obviously they don't tell you the whole thing over here, but you have to coordinate with Devarim in order to see the story of the Luchos Shnios, which are not mentioned in Kisiso. So, they sort of are, but not in that kind of detail. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. And with that, I wish you all a good Shabbos. Thanks again to Bezalel Stefanski and family for sponsoring, and I wish everyone a good week.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.